You are listening to ListCast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, leave a comment, or perhaps suggest a top 5 list for us to do on the show, you can drop us a line at listcast5@gmail.com or visit our website at listcast.podomatic.com. Now on with the show. Welcome to ListCast. Today we're going to do top 5 vocal themes or songs from a movie. When I say themes, it could be the theme song from a movie or just a song that was particularly notable within that movie. Also to be noted, we are going to have a companion episode to this where it will be top 5 orchestral themes. But today we're just going to tackle the vocals. So why don't we start with your number 5. I'm Justin and this is Josh.
Hello, I'm Josh. All right, my number 5... This may seem a little effeminate, and I might come off as a little gay.
Effeminate.
But I was doing some last-minute alterations to this last night, and I decided that I really like this scene in the movie, and I just couldn't leave it off. That's why it is my number 5. It didn't climb up the list too far. It's a song called And Then He Kissed Me from the opening of Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, I really should have thought of that. That's a good one.
Always connect this song to that scene in Adventures in Babysitting. Oh, it is the theme to that movie, and I will not.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it's the theme to the movie.
Almost,
but it opens the movie.
It opens the movie, and
fantastically so.
Fantastically, it's just it's Elizabeth Shue lip syncing to this song. I believe the group is called the Crystals,
wearing a sweater and nothing but a sweater and. Stockings.
Is it stockers or jeans or something?
No, it's stockings. Oh my god.
Yeah, just her getting ready to go on a date with her boyfriend. She's singing along, lip syncing to the song, dancing around her bed, and like I said, it may seem a little gay, but I love this moment in the movie.
Who doesn't?
It's a fun movie from my youth as well, but
I remember that in the theater.
You saw that in the theater.
Gave me a Woody.
But I really like that. I really like that song. It has a very interesting texture to it, especially from its time.
It was made
in the 60s,
and it doesn't feel like it.
No, it doesn't. It just has a very interesting sound, and because it, whenever I hear that song, it'll always connect me to that moment in the movie.
It does have a very rich texture.
Yes, it does, but that's why it only made my number 5.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah, it's not the theme.
I didn't think
certainly...
but I didn't think you'd be so enthusiastic about it. I thought you'd laugh at me.
Oh God, no! I love that. I've read reviews of that movie where they talk about that opening, and everybody loves it. Think what you will of the movie. That scene just tends to be a guy favorite.
Well, I'm glad that it didn't come off like I thought it would. I'm glad you're happy
I
with
liked it.
All right, what's your number 5?
All right, I only have one honorable mention, so this is kind of tough, but I'm going to give my number 5 to The Karate Kid 2, 1986, Glory of Love by Peter Cetera.
Like a knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
So, okay.
From a long time ago.
When they're running along the beach.
No, it's not the beach. It's the they're running on these rocks.
It's like ruins, isn't it?
Yeah, something kind of like that. You know, I'm generally not a huge fan of when they drop in kind of the latest hot song into a movie.
Yeah, I know you really like that song.
I of course watched this movie not when it was in theaters and whatnot. You know, I of course found it on video, but because I was just a little too young to have gone to see it in the theater and really.
We did see Karate Kid Part 3 in the theater.
Yeah, and I really wish I hadn't. But
I wish they just wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, yeah.
They were lucky to come off as good as they did with Karate Kid Part 2.
They were extremely lucky.
Yeah.
Because it's an awesome movie.
Well, and they didn't rehash the first one.
No, not really.
Thank God.
But, you know, this song, it is a great song on its own.
Well, I noticed you did some research. We were talking about this before we did the show.
Right.
Who made this song? I have no idea.
Peter Cetera. John G. Avildsen directed all the Karate Kid movies.
All of them? Even
he
the
did
next
all
Karate
of them.
Kid?
Yeah, he did all of. I don't know if he did next Karate Kid. I don't know if he counts that as a Karate Kid movie.
It is.
Nobody else does. But he did 1, 2, and 3 specifically because he did Rocky 1, and always regretted not doing the sequels, and because he did Karate Kid and he knew it was going to be franchised, he didn't want to give that up, so he continued with the sequels. Just a little side note. But Peter Cetera, 1986, of course, just steeped in the 80s. Not that that's a bad thing. This is one of those songs where the 80s is its charm.
Well, I admit I'm not a fan of this song, but I will admit one thing. It is catchy.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they really only play, you know, kind of a little bit of it in that part of the movie, and it fits. Kind of comes out of nowhere, but
yeah,
in a movie that otherwise doesn't come off as poppy, you know, like it's pulling from the hot things of the day. Maybe partly because the movie takes place in another country where that sort of music wouldn't have been appropriate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they slap this in there, you know, during a moment montage sort of kind of moment when they're falling in love and all of this. It's just a good song, and it's kind of like you with that opening number. I will always associate this. All of these songs
will be associated with the movie.
But this particular one was not the theme song of the movie, but it is so readily connected to the movie. Good song, anyway.
Okay.
Are we on to your number 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
My number 4 is from the closing credits of Time Bandits. It's the theme from Time Bandits. I'm guessing by the look on your face that this was on your list.
Yes, this would have been my number 2.
Okay, now this...
Although I'm not surprised we overlapped on this one.
I'm not surprised either. Well, I'm glad you do. Hope we don't have any other.
I'm willing to bet most of our list is probably an overlap.
Well, the song from Time Bandits is called "Dream Away." It was written and performed by George Harrison
of the Beatles.
I had no idea this was George Harrison until recently, but I have become a fan. I'd say within the past few years, become a fan of George Harrison. I think he's a great musician. I think he didn't really get a lot of credit, at least the credit he's. Should be did.
Well, he went on and did his own band.
I don't think he was ever in a band. He's been a solo artist.
Or maybe it was solo, but I knew he had a career after the Beatles.
Yeah, but...
Unlike, say, Ringo, who kind of... He may have done things, but certainly...
But he was never as popular as Paul McCartney or John Lennon.
No.
But his music is really good. And when I was doing research for this podcast, I guess maybe I forgot, or maybe I just didn't know that George Harrison had done this song. And... Time Bandits is a fun, great movie for kids.
I don't know if that's a kids movie, but it's a great movie.
Well, it was directed by Terry Gilliam, so it has that Terry Gilliam
almost by definition means it's not for kids.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, the song's called Dream Away. It's featured at the end. Closes out the movie. There's these great still shots of the movie.
Yeah, I was going to mention that the fact that it plays over stills of
that
the movie
really enhances the feeling of the song.
Yeah, I agree.
Listening to it without seeing those, it doesn't have the same impact.
Well,
but it's still good.
It does for me because I can picture it playing over the credits. But normally I'm not a fan of when they do stills over credits.
But
usually
I
find it badly done.
But it works.
It works in this. It works in Rocky V when they. Which is a song I really should have put on this list.
I don't remember.
Elton Rocky John 5. Did the song at the end of Rocky V, which, of course, I can't remember the title of right now.
But it
played over stills. Chronologically told the story of Rocky from Rocky I.
Did Elton
Rocky
John
V.
write that originally for Rocky V?
I think he wrote it exactly for that movie because it tells his story, every beat specifically, without saying his name. But excellent song. But nevertheless, plays over credit, over stills. Which, yeah, like you said, it just enhances it.
It does.
It's such a fun, energetic song.
It's incredibly catchy.
Yeah, even though you don't really know the words. No. Only a dream away. All
right, that's my number four.
Since you took my two, I'm going to go ahead and drop this in there, although I really would have put that song from Rocky V in there if I had thought about it. I'm going to go with my backup. This would have been an honorable mention. 1985, White Nights. Say You, Say Me by Lionel Richie. On its own. Taylor Hackford directed it.
I can't listen to that song without seeing the still frame that they closed the movie on.
Ironic,
just the
we
two
should
of
be drawn to another still.
Which is just the two of them looking at each other smiling. It's such a gay moment.
Oh, it is. I mean, the shot kind of freezes in an almost awkward moment.
Say You, Say Me is
a great song.
A pretty money song. And, you gotta admit.
But honestly, though, I don't know what it's doing at the end of this movie. It's almost like a romantic song. And the fact that the movie's really about these two guys that are not romantically involved at all.
So you're saying the song doesn't belong in the movie at all?
Not if you really think about it. But it's a great song, and it's associated with this movie, so here you go. You know,
didn't Lionel Richie win the Oscar for that?
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
I think he did.
It's a great song. Doesn't have anything to do, as far as I can tell, with the contents of the movie. Mm-hmm. But...
Well, yeah, I love it too, and it did make my list, but... I would have put it as an honorable mention if I had.
I just don't know what the heck it was doing on this movie. But it was, so there it is. Honorable mention.
Okay. My number three. Before I go into my number three, I wanted to just to mention that my choices for songs, now this includes vocals as well in our next episode, when it comes to instrumentals. There's so many song choices that you can,
of course,
that you have to choose from. But I decided to go with songs that had staying power. Mm-hmm. So that comes down to nostalgia, but that are songs that are near and dear to your heart.
Sure.
And have survived the test of time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go with a lot of songs that I've heard recently or, you know, going back a few years. Ones that I've heard repeatedly over and over again as I've grown up.
Literally everything on my list here. My five and my honorable are all from the 80s.
So you had the same
thing. That wasn't intentional.
But you had the same kind of direction, I can tell.
Instinctively, it would seem that way, yeah.
Okay, my number three is from the film adaptation of Dragnet. Please, 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 officer.
Enforce the laws.
believe it came out. I believe this movie came out in like 1985 or 86.
That sounds about right.
With Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks.
Sure.
It's the opening credit song to Dragnet. I'm not gonna cannibalize the song.
Does that really even count as vocal?
It's vocal.
There are some vocals in it, but I mean, it certainly seems like it's more of an orchestral thing.
No, it's vocal. Boom, 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 dun, 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 dun. You know. Yeah, I know the song, but there's lyrics to the song. You know, it's more like a white man's rap song.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I know.
But there's lyrics in it, so
yeah,
it's vocals.
Yes, all right.
Now, I was so in love with this song, and I still am, but
it's,
I used to just...
catchy.
It is catchy. I still love the movie, too, but I would steal the tape from my brother, from Eric, and just play that over and over again. And I think I even just, you know, got a tape recorder and recorded it from the TV speaker, because this is back in the 80s when we didn't have things like the internet. And they never...
audio rippers.
Yeah, and they never released this song on any album or anything like
right.
that. But I just love the song, and it's played over this kind of graphic display of a police badge. Just kind of a close-up, and it just goes back and forth as the credits roll.
Right.
It's good. I just love it.
That's
I
good.
Love
it's an
it.
Interesting choice. I wouldn't have thought of it. It's a good one.
Like I said, I was going with Staying Power, and I can watch that today, and I still love that song.
Interesting choice.
All right, what you got? You're on your number three?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Number three. I'm going to go with 1984. Title of the movie, title of the song, The Never Ending Story.
Bastard.
Good, I gotcha.
That was my next one.
This is music and lyrics by Giorgio Moroder and Keith Forsey. This one is interesting because much like my what now will become my number two, since you took my number two, this song all but buried in public eye, that is, the actual orchestral score of the movie, which is excellent. Giorgio Moroder, who did the music part of this song, Keith Forsey did the lyrics. Giorgio Moroder did the orchestral soundtrack to the movie. He just also contributed to this main theme vocal song. But this vocal theme song was so damn catchy and so good that it kind of overshadowed the orchestral element of the movie itself, ironically, that he also did. But it's a great song, and it is a great soundtrack. But
well, yeah,
I think it's interesting that it totally overshadows.
It does overshadow, but the score is good. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right on that.
It's
but that song is so catchy, it does overshadow the rest of it, and it opens the movie and it closes the movie, right? Or does it just open the movie?
I don't know if it closes it, but it definitely opens the movie, obviously, over the credits,
mm-hmm.
Over sky and titles, and mm-hmm. it totally sets you up.
Oh,
for the movie coming.
Oh, it's such a rad song. I mean, the song has almost, in some cases, bested the movie almost because it's so powerful.
I just think, you know, it does exactly what an opening song in a movie like that is supposed to do, which is get you in the mood.
Get you in the mood for a fantasy. Right?
But oddly enough, I've always found that it's a song of two halves. It's the half that we all know, and then it kind of peters out and goes into this other part, which... I think they kind of faded out on.
Yeah, they
in
do.
The movie.
I know what you're talking about.
But if you listen to the actual full complete song separately, it kind of
falls off. It does.
And then comes together towards the end. But it's got a strong opening half, kind of weak, and then concludes. But yeah, great movie song.
I wish
everyone can hum it, you know.
Well, I figured. Oh, definitely. I figured we were going to both have the Never Ending Story.
Yeah,
so that's not quite a surprise. Now, like I said, that was my number two, so I'm going to have to go with an alternate here. My alternate is going to be from the end credits of Lethal Weapon 2, a song called Cheer Down by George Harrison. I just mentioned George Harrison, so it seems fitting that I would choose
Lethal
this.
Lethal Weapon 2?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you want me to sing it?
Just give me a couple. Yeah, because I know it.
But. I can see by your grin that you're trembling sin.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was George Harrison.
George Harrison.
I can hear it now. I can hear the song clearly in my
Cheer
head.
Down.
Cheer as, down.
Yeah. Yeah, as the outro to Lethal Weapon 2, it's just this great pullback as they have.
I can see by your grin.
You know, we're going to have the tracks playing in the background. So
I know, but I had so not thought of it, and you so brought a smile to my head with that.
As an outro to the film, it's a great outro. You got Mel Gibson lying on the ground, and Danny Glover has got him in his arms, and they just pull back from this crane shot, and they dissolve into a helicopter shot as they just pull back further and further and further away, and it stays on that helicopter shot throughout the whole credits until they eventually fade to black.
Right.
To black. But the song plays over that whole scene. And I didn't become a George Harrison fan listening to that song, but I remember hunting it down and trying to find out what it was just because I
want to listen to it.
I dug it so much. I thought it was a great closing song for that occasion, for that moment in the movie when they're looking up at each other, laughing and realizing that, you know, he's going to live. And
right. There will be a sequel.
There will be another movie. But that's
excellent
pretty much
choice. That's excellent pretty much choice. I wish I had thought of it.
You know, I hope you don't take my number one, because if you do, I don't know what can replace
well,
it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be really disappointed if you took my number one, because...
Okay, this is your number two.
Yes, I know, but I'm saying my number one is... That's a me movie. So I'd be very disappointed if
What's your number two?
My number two, which would have been my number three, because Time Bandits was on number two,
okay,
is Ghostbusters.
Okay. I didn't have that on my list, but...
Just like Neverending Story, it's the title of the song, title of the movie. Performed by Ray Parker Jr. What are you going to say? I mean, it's Ghostbusters.
I contemplated that. That is a catchy-ass tune.
There's also a reason.
But it was a little too commercial and obvious to me.
But there's a reason why... The main reason why I put this on there is because, just like The Neverending Story, this song utterly buried the orchestral soundtrack, which is also excellent, which was done by Elmer Bernstein, a very accomplished film composer. Who even knows that, you know, because Ray Parker stole it with that song, rightfully so, written for this movie. Excellent song.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. When you talk about Ghostbusters, people start singing that song.
Right. And you know, like I said, it's just as obvious. You know, I agree with you. It's a very obvious choice. But like I said, I put it in there because of the fact that it overshadowed almost, I don't want to say it overshadowed the movie, but in popular culture, people have heard the song and haven't seen the movie. And it certainly was did no justice to the orchestral soundtrack itself, which is excellent.
But that's anyway, good choice. In, okay. in good defense too, because like I said, it was kind of obvious. But yeah, that's
yeah,
it was a good choice.
All right, so are we on to your two or your one?
No, my number one.
Okay,
my number one is from the close. Well, it's not the closing; it's in the finale of Short Circuit 2.
Okay.
A song called Hero or I Need a Hero. Now, I didn't look up who sang this song.
It's called Holding Out for a Hero.
Holding Out for a Hero. Okay. I didn't look up who sang the song, so I can't give you that information. Yeah. But I saw Short Circuit 2 in the theater, I believe. Now, Short Circuit 2 isn't held in as high regard to the first one, at least in the public consciousness. I still love Short Circuit 2.
Right. And I debated this one.
Yeah, I figured you would have. I had to put this as my number one, just because I remember having such a visceral reaction to this scene as Johnny Five is slowly dying as he's chasing down Oscar. You know, he just won't give up, and they got this. I'd never heard the song before when I was a kid, so I'm hearing this, and it just got me so energized and melted my heart at the same time.
Right.
And to listen to it now, I mean, it is a product of the 80s,
but it is a very good, powerful,
yes it is,
rock
and maybe ballad. And maybe some people will think it's cheesy, fine, but I don't care. It's like I said, I'm going with staying power. And I watched that scene, that moment in the movie, and that song were married together so well. It became unforgettable. It was one of the first things I thought of when I thought
it's one of those songs. Few examples, unlike say My Karate Kid 2 note, where it works, but it felt like it was definitely inserted because it was the big thing. You know, that song, like you said, it felt like it belonged there. You know, yeah, it's a huge hit in its own right. Not created for this movie, but it feels like it. You know, it feels like it's Johnny Five's anthem as he's tear-assing down that pier.
Yeah. And, you know, this song
I'm
was...
I'm coming after you, Oscar, and I'm really pissed.
Exactly. You know, the song wasn't written for the movie. But when I first saw it, I didn't know that.
Right.
I'd never heard it before. So that part of the movie and that song will always be tied together. I will never know that song without seeing Short Circuit 2 in my head.
Right, I'm with you.
That's just the way it is for me. But nevertheless, that's my number one, and I'm proud to put it at my number one.
No, I like it. Excellent choice.
What do you have?
In my opinion, it's the end-all, be-all of vocal theme songs. Need we say any more than...
Any explanation.
mean, this is...
I just said it was a mean movie.
Mean movie?
Me movie.
Oh, me. M-E. As in, okay.
It's one of my favorite movies, Flash Gordon, 1980, by Queen. The whole soundtrack is a vocal soundtrack by Queen. It's Flash's theme, and... What do you say? I mean, it's an excellent song.
Yeah, it is.
It was created for this movie just as the whole soundtrack was. The whole soundtrack is full of excellent deliveries by Queen. But, of course, this song is the pinnacle of it. And
people who don't even know the movie know that song.
Yeah, at least they know that opening
bit. And people, when they hear Flash Gordon, will always say, Flash! They can't help it. It's become so
iconic.
Memorable. Yeah, iconic, yeah.
And while it does have that opening, which is certainly memorable, the song itself is good. And if you listen to the lyrics, they're very good lyrics, and it draws you in, and it's got a great beat. It starts off big, then it slows down and kind of pulls you into this almost dream. And then it builds back up and sends you out slamming to get ready for the movie.
It's not only that, but Queen, yeah, but Freddie Mercury, man, he knew how to write a fucking song.
Yes, he
did.
Let's
just put it right there. That dude was a great vocalist, and he made some pretty catchy tunes.
Hell yeah, he did. And this was no exception.
Are still in the public mind today. Mm-hmm. And how long ago did he write those? I mean, I don't mean to get off of Flash Gordon, but I mean, look at Bohemian Rhapsody.
Of course.
I mean, everybody knows that song.
I know.
Everybody. And everybody will sing along with it, and everybody will rock their head at exactly the same moment.
But, well, you know, wouldn't be my number one if it didn't do exactly what the Neverending Stories theme song did, which is it perfectly sets you up for the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It tells you exactly what you're getting into. If you listen to, if you like this song.
Kind of a pulpy.
Yeah,
type
he
of
just
feel.
He got it. He got the movie. I think this movie is highly underrated. I think it's genius, and I think it was fully intended to be.
You don't have to defend it to me.
It's all okay. I'm saying is, I think it was fully intended to be the goofy, campy movie that it is, and I think Freddie Mercury got that, and he captured that. He captured that spirit in Flash's theme and throughout the whole movie, for that matter. But just a phenomenal opening theme.
Well, we've got some time for honorable mentions. Do you have any?
Not anymore, since you took my number two.
You really didn't have any?
The White Knights was my honorable mention, but gosh, I mean, Holding Out for a Hero, I should have put on there because I absolutely love Holding Out for a Hero.
Well, I have some. If you'd like to hear them, the end credits of Her Alibi.
Mm-hmm.
It was by Randy Newman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the song.
Yeah,
but I know that just another one of those cases where the song fit so perfectly.
Yeah.
Actually, this is an embarrassing choice. Only because of the way it was used in the end credits. The end of Top Gun. What's it called? I didn't write down the name of the song. What is the name of that song? The end of Top Gun. I need your love. I need your love. So bring it on by. Bring it on.
That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
what?
I'm not. It's the song that they sing in the bar, you know.
You've lost
that love,
that love and feeling.
You've lost that love and feeling. Now.
Oh, that love.
That's why I said this was embarrassing, because it's only in the use in the end credits when they're.
No, it's not. The instrumental of it is during their boning scene.
No, I think they're... No.
Isn't it the instrumental of that song?
No. That's what's it called? That's something else. That's by Berlin.
Oh, all right, my bad.
That's another song.
Well, it's very similar in tone, isn't it?
No, but you've lost that love and feeling, not from when they're singing in the bar, serenading it, but at the end, over the end credits, I just like it for some reason. But anyway, my other honorable mention... I'm going to edit that whole part out. That was too embarrassing. My other honorable mention was God Gave Rock and Roll to You from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Mm-hmm. The end.
Yeah. That's a
great
good one.
Song.
Mm-hmm.
Great song.
Again, played over... Although this isn't stills. This is played over...
This is showing how
Newspapers.
Yeah, showing how they become what they will become.
Which is another great way. The movie's over, but yet you're still getting information. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it truly fascinating that a number of our, you know, mentions here are against something that I generally don't like, which is some sort of stills or something like that, which tend to be done badly. Mm-hmm. But yet these are the examples, the ones that really shine, to show you that it can be done well. And Bill and Ted, that's an excellent way of doing it, where it's not even stills from the movie. It's future stills.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
You have a reason to watch the credits.
Right, it's actually... Yeah, most people will get up during the end, but...
And you can't, because this is still the movie.
You can't, because it's part of the story.
Yeah. Good choice. Well, all right, I guess this is going to wrap up our vocal themes episode. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for our sister episode, Orchestral Themes. This is Justin saying goodbye.
All right, this is Josh. See you later. These battered hands are all you own. This broken heart has turned to stone. Go hang your glory on the wall. There comes a time when castles fall, and all that's left is shifting in the sand. You're out of time, you're out of place. Look at your face, that's the measure of a man. This coat that fits you like a glove, these dirty streets you learn to love. So welcome back, my long lost friend. You've been to hell and back again. God alone knows how you thrust that span. Back on the beat, back to the start. Trust in your heart, that's the measure of a man. It's the fire in the eyes, the lines on the hand, and the things you understand. Curve of the ties from which you once ran, that's the measure of a man. Observer, now you're home. Without the gold, without the crown. And this is the way you've always been. You had to lose so you could win. Rise above your troubles while you can. Now you're home. Without the gold, without the crown. This is where you've always been. You had to lose so you could win. Rise above your troubles while you can. Now you can love. Now you can lose, now you can choose. That's the measure of a man.